You know what? Because it's because he looks like Philip when Philip was Martha.
Yeah, gaming Martha. You're right. That's why. That's definitely why. It's almost exactly. If low key, if that
he looks
was
like that costume,
he does. He looks like the costume. It would. I'd be interested to know if like low key they were like, this is our tribute to the Americans, the way we styled this character. Hello, everyone. This is Alex.
And this is M.
Welcome to the latest episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic.
This is the podcast for anyone who enjoys binging new TV series and revisiting old favorites. On this podcast, we'll be discussing what we love, what we hate, and what's just a bit problematic about the TV and movies that we're addicted to, though not necessarily in that order. This week, we'll be continuing our first impression season with a discussion of the hit Apple TV original, Physical.
Set in the 1980s, Physical is the story of a truly desperate housewife named Sheila, a lifelong bulimic with an expensive secret and a dissatisfying marriage. When Sheila's husband decides to run for California statesman, Sheila feels as if her life is about to implode, but she finds strength in an unexpected source, aerobics. So is Physical as addictive as critics say? Is Physical worth watching? Stay tuned.
All right, everyone, here are some details about Physical. The series is classified as a dark comedy and a drama. It is an Apple TV original. It was released on June 18th, 2021, and it is currently airing. The third season actually just premiered at the beginning of this month. However, we're only covering the first two. It was created by Annie Weissman, and it stars Rose Byrne as Sheila Rubin, Rory Scovel as Danny Rubin, Sheila's husband, Paul Sparks as John Bream, a mall owner and Danny's political opponent, Della Saba as Bunny Kazam, an aerobics instructor, Lou Taylor Pucci as Tyler, Bunny's boyfriend, Deirdre Friel as Greta Hauser, a housewife and acquaintance of Sheila's, and Jeffrey Arend as Jerry Goldman, Danny's old friend and campaign manager. This show is very interesting. I didn't expect to like the show as much as I did. And what's, I think, the most interesting thing about the show for me is that the show is incredibly interesting and I like it very much, but the Sheila character is not very likable. Our protagonist is not a very likable person.
No, she's not. Interesting. This is also, so Physical, another one of like Apple TV servings. Also executive produced by John McNamara and Sarah Gamble. You'll know John McNamara and Sarah Gamble. They're the team that did The Magicians and You, which is like their big thing that they're both sort of on like the hit list for. And so then they are also shepherding this series by Annie Weissman, Physical. So that was interesting to learn. Physical. Well, I mean, first of all, like, I mean, it's great to see Rose Byrne like leading her own series. Rose Byrne's like this actress who's been in, who's like, you know, I think she's 20 years deep in the game at this point. And she's a great actress. I always really like to see her. This is an aside. I swear to God, I thought when her husband is first introduced and I was looking at him, I swear to God, I thought that was Matthew Rhys. For like a legitimate
actually episode. She's 29 years in the game at this point. She's been acting since she was 15.
But swear to God, thought it was Matthew Rhys. Turns out not Matthew Rhys. But that's fine.
You know what? It's because he looks like Philip when Philip was Martha.
Yeah, gaming Martha. You're right. That's why. That's definitely why. It's almost exactly. If low key, if that
looks
was
like that costume,
he does. He looks like the costume. I'd be interested to know if like low key, they were like, this is our tribute to the Americans, the way we styled this character. So Physical is about, yeah, it's about Sheila. It's Sheila's our titular character, our protagonist of which we're introduced to this world. And this is right on the heels of, or like in the beginning of the home VCR workout tape, which, funny enough, I like recently learned, like, really, like, the person to, like, really do that was actually Jane Fonda, funny enough.
Yes, she was.
that was, like, this is Jane Fonda's whole bit. So, like, we're in the, and so, and that's what the show is about. It's about this woman named Sheila, and we're introduced to her, and she is a housewife, and she has this just vision of wanting to, not vision, but after she takes this aerobics workout class, she has, like, this vision of wanting to be, you know, the Jane Fonda, like maybe if Jane Fonda's number one, then she can be number two of her era, of her day. And we're introduced to this world, to these characters. And that's what it's about. But it's also very much about, and that brings me to, I guess, my first sort of thing. I don't know that the show really knows what it's about so much as it's just sort of presenting these characters and this world. That's what I felt.
I feel like the show knows what it's about. Unfortunately, our protagonist is... our protagonist is not the most straightforward person. She's not the most likable person. And I don't think she's really got her head screwed on right for all of season one and most of season two. At least that's how what's coming off to me. We're presented into this world where Jane Fonda don't exist, I guess. And no one's ever done a home workout videotape thing before.
And that's the thing. And they're in California. I was like, be serious. Like,
Right. So in this dystopia of the 80s where Jane Fonda workouts don't exist and you have to take aerobics at the mall, she takes Bunny's class and she wants to be that. She wants to be the aerobics instructor. She wants to feel the sense of accomplishment. She wants to feel like this leader. She wants to get her exercise in and, you know, not just binge and purge secretly in motel rooms. A lot of the confusion around Sheila's character actually think was really well done writing wise, because a lot of the things about her and the way that she operates, like, very much track with, like, mental health diagnoses of bulimics, like this need to indulge while simultaneously needing to restrict and control at the same time.
Yeah. So, like, the show is, like, it's trying to, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's clear. Like, okay, so you have Sheila, and Sheila has, like, a horrible ED, and so, like, in that, like, so she is going to, she's dissatisfied in her life, but, like, her ED is very much, but the ED is not necessarily born of, like, the frustration or the dissatisfaction in her life. They are contributing factors to the ED, but it's not what it's born of. It's born of just, like, right. A classic. She hates herself. She hates her body. She thinks she's fat. She's not fat, but she thinks she's fat. So she is eating and then simultaneously, like, purging.
The ED is a bit more complicated than that, right?
They are.
It's from childhood trauma.
Wait.
Hello?
Am I missing something? Did I miss a scene? Did they establish that hers is particularly childhood?
Yes. So there's a scene when she's at her parents' house, and then, like, Danny's so pissed off that she let her parents see their daughter, right? And then that's when it's revealed to us that the reason she cut off her parents and the reason why her parents had never seen her daughter before was because when she was a kid, she was chubby. And she was raped by one of her father's fraternity brothers. And she told her parents, and they did nothing about it and continued to let this man have access to their home. And that's when she started becoming a bulimic.
Okay. All right.
So there's that the whole backstory is actually deeply sad. And it kind of shows you how basically her parents' neglect in protecting her set her up to then be exploited later in this marriage by Danny.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know. Okay. So I missed that scene because I was like, it's born of just she just doesn't. Okay. I swear I was watching it. I just missed the scene. Okay.
It happens to the best of us because I miss important scenes all the time.
Because I was like, okay, she hates herself, but she hates. Okay. So then that is that. So all these things are contributing to the ED. And she also just very much hates herself. She hates herself. Like we, shout out to Joe, yeah, I guess.
Can you talk about Sheila's internal monologue?
Yeah. Cause like, shout out to
actually
Joe.
Actually really hard to listen to as a viewer, yeah. The way she talks to herself.
She has like just like Joe, Sheila has an internal monologue that's always going. And hers is like really nasty. And it's nasty to everyone around her, but it's also the nastiest, I think, to herself. And so we can sort of see like where this, how this behavior like is a continuum. Sheila very much hates herself. She hates herself because for lots of reasons, really, but chief among them, that she is not really the person that she purports herself to be, in that she, I think, wants to believe that she believes in good things, but not really.
Right.
That's definitely like a central thing in the first season. And that she wants to, you know, think highly of her friends, but she doesn't really. She pretends to be like somebody who will do right by other people, but she doesn't actually care. And that's a part of her conflict. It's what puts her at odds. So like you said, right. She really isn't. She's not like a likable person. I am not in particular rooting for Sheila at all at any point in the series.
Right. She's super interesting to watch. I will give it that. But she's not a likable character. I think one of the most unlikable character traits that Sheila has is the deep resentment that she has for her husband, Danny. And I'm not saying that Danny's a good guy, quite the opposite. Like, he's actually a garbage person and a garbage husband. Like, you've known this woman for how many years and you've never noticed that she doesn't even eat in front of you? Like, yeah. Sure, be for real. Anyway, the problem with Sheila and her resentment towards Danny is that he's selfish. He lives selfishly in the way that she wants to live selfishly. She resents him for being selfish, even as she enables his selfish behavior.
That's true. Very much so. Like, he is. He's very selfish and he doesn't care. Like, he just doesn't care about her or like her feelings or her ambitions. He only cares about her so much as how her own sort of smarts and talents are used to enrich him and his own ambitions. But he does not, but her, anything that she wants to do, he doesn't particularly care.
Right. Like, and he doesn't even give her credit for being smart. Like, we've seen, there's a couple scenes in season one alone where we see Danny pass off one of Sheila's ideas as if it were his own original thought, right? He just likes having her as arm candy, honestly. She's this wife, she's this mother, she's got this, you know, she got her figure back from, you know, she still has the same figure she had when she was 20 years old. You know, she dresses well, she knows how to do her makeup well, and she makes him look good. And the dynamic there as well, and the show kind of stresses this in season one, is that Danny's Jewish. So he's got this really sexy, hot wasp wife that makes him look even better. In this way, we see that Danny really fetishizes Sheila and Sheila's appearance. And so even though her eating disorder is hurting her physically and mentally, it only makes him look better and better when people see her next to him.
Right. And it's interesting. And it's interesting because I do think, and this is where I think the show muddles for me, because I do think there are points where the show wants to portray this idea that Danny isn't even necessarily like a bad guy. He's just not present. Like, in, he likes her for all the wrong reasons. Like what you just said, in that she's a wasp. She's a wasp and she looks good. But like because there's the scene where he is super, where he's like high, he's like, and it's a couple of scenes, but like he's super high and he's like, I couldn't do any, And he's right, like we said, he's running for the statesman, and he's like, I couldn't do any of this without you, babe. Like, you have all the best ideas, like, you support me, da 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 da. And she's really moved and affected by it. And she's like, do you want this? And he's like, more than anything. And she's like, okay, well then, like, I'm here for you. I'm here to help you, but you've also gotta grow up and step up for your dream. And then there's another, and then of course the very next day she's like, okay, so like, I was thinking we could do this, 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 like, and instead of sort of really taking her seriously and being like, okay, like, you're my partner in this, you know, he's like, fuck off, like, get coffee or whatever. And that's when she's like, okay, no, 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 no. Like, I've got to keep doing this thing, this video workout thing that I had already sort of set my mind to. Like, I've got to keep doing that because, like, fuck him. He's never gonna get there. And then there's another part where he's about to cheat on her with his, like, campaign volunteer. But he says something, he also says something really succinct and illuminating, in that he's like, he says something to this girl about Sheila, in the sense of, like, he's like, you know, Sheila's just never been able to be in her own body. Like, never. Like, right? So he's observing something, but he is not, like, putting it together. And so that's what, but, and, like,
and this is it that he can't put it together, or that he doesn't want to take the time to?
Right. And then, and no, you're totally right. And that's why I'm sort of like, I don't know that the show, because that's where I've sort of felt the show gets a little bit muddled, because I'm just like, okay, but, like, how am I? And so that's, I was like, okay, maybe it's just presenting something to me, and I don't know, and, you know, whatever. But
well, here's the thing for me with the Danny character specifically. I feel like it was muddled. I agree with that. But I also feel like a part of me feels like it was kind of brilliant, and I'm going to, like, clarify what I mean by that. So Danny, in a lot of ways, is shown as a typical, stereotypical white 80s husband, where, like, he needs his wife to take care of the child and take care of the home. But she doesn't actually get any credit for being the homemaker. But then we take it a step further, where Danny is the type of man that's evolved enough to ask his wife her thoughts and opinions, but not so evolved that he'll ever give her credit for them. And in that way, like, I feel like that kind of tracks with the Danny character that they're trying to build, because he's supposed to be this progressive, right? He's the one that, like, hits on his student right in front of the wife, and, you know, signals to the wife in a way that would imply that he's done this before, that they have some type of arrangement or some type of open marriage. But at the same time, he's not progressive enough to be understanding if the roles were reversed, right? This is why when she starts fucking John Bream, she has to do it secretly. Like, Danny's the man that wants to believe that he is evolved, that he's this Renaissance man, that he's, like, he probably thinks he's a feminist too. Danny Rubin is definitely the type of man who would describe himself as a male feminist. But he's not. He's a typical guy.
No, that's definitely no, that's true. That's definitely correct. And I definitely see that. So there's that. So there's Danny and Sheila, and they are in this contentious marriage. But enter Bunny and her thing, and doing aerobics, and suddenly Sheila, for the first time, is able to find a power in aerobics that has been missing from her life. Since, I think she talks about how, like, she used to be a dancer.
Yes.
So, yeah. So it makes her, so honestly, that makes a lot of sense. Aerobics makes her feel alive in the way that, like, dance used to make her feel alive before she quit dance. It brings her back to a place where, you know, she felt like her whole life was in front of her. So Sheila goes to this class, and Bunny immediately does not like her. which Bunny's instincts aren't necessarily incorrect, to be quite honest. But she just doesn't fuck with her. But Sheila immediately has this bug and has this idea that she just gets it. She does the aerobics workout, and she just gets it. She gets the point of it. She she understands it at a cellular level, and that she too could really do this. And to Sheila's credit, she does. She gets it sort of up out of the mud. She steals. She steals, begs, borrows, and cuts whoever she has to do, or and does what she kind of has to do to get this vision of a workout tape off the ground. Funny enough, like she pitches the workout tape to Bunny, and Bunny doesn't even get it. She's like, no, like, why would I do that? And Sheila's like, no, because like you could, it could be very like we could make a shit ton of money. And it's not really till Sheila sort of makes this, you know, fake, this sort of test tape, this proof of concept workout tape, that Bunny is like, oh, no, yeah, this could really be a thing.
Right. Bunny has a talent and she has a drive, but she doesn't have Sheila's vision. She doesn't understand that for a lot of people, the only thing standing between them and physical fitness or any sort of exercise, honestly, is convenience. Right. Nobody wants to schlep to the fucking mall to exercise every day.
she's totally right. And Bunny is like, we don't get a ton of Bunny in season one, but she herself is like an interesting character in the sense of she's Persian.
Yes, she is.
She's Persian. I don't know if they're speaking Farsi or Arabic. I couldn't tell you.
The sister, like, it's not even alluded. She flat out says, like, you know, doing what you're doing, living the way that you're living, bleaching your hair blonde, it's not going to make you a white woman.
Yeah, it's like, doesn't make you white, but good luck.
And it's like, damn, way to stomp on her dreams. So would Bunny have even had as many clients coming to her class at the mall if she looked more quote-unquote foreign?
No, I don't think she does, and it's just one of those things. It's one of those things. And so we have Bunny, and Bunny, after lots of cajoling, you know, Sheila gets Bunny on board of this idea, and they sort of do, and they both, with her sort of Bunny's stoner surfer boyfriend put
he's
together.
He's sweet, but he's an anchor. He's dragging that girl down. He's very sweet.
Oh my gosh. Because I love him.
He's very sweet. He's the guy that you're in a relationship with fresh out of high school, like between high school and college. You spend the summer with him, you have a good time, and then you go about your way because he's not for something serious. He's not for someone serious.
Bless him. Bless his sweet little heart.
But Tyler's a sweetheart, and he really loves Bunny a lot.
He does. He loves her. He be loving her. He do.
Honestly, the tape wouldn't have gotten made without Tyler. I need to give credit where credit is due.
Tyler,
because
like
Bunny didn't have any startup money, and Sheila had spent all of her family's money on fast food and motel rooms.
And so Tyler comes in, and he is like he's a surfer, he's a stoner, he's a filmmaker, he's all the things. And he's like, yeah, we can shoot this video and do it. And that's what they do. And of course, all in secret, by the way, all of this in secret from Danny. And it's interesting. Danny doesn't really see her. Danny can't really like see Sheila, but somebody who does is the guy.
Jamon Breams.
Yeah.
I really like the way this character is written, because when we meet John, like, we know something's off with him. And then with more scenes of him, we see more and more that he's like a deeply fucked up person. We don't know how much because he's not our protagonist, but he is deeply fucked up. And it makes perfect sense that these two are deeply attracted to each other.
So in this first season, Danny is, like we said, he's running for congressman, and it's Sheila, and they're doing this whole thing. But like, very specifically, Danny's whole, so this is, I'm basically I'm about to get into where the show was like kind of like hitching for me in terms of like feeling a bit muddled. I think thematically and canonically in terms of like what I felt like, what was the show trying to like say to me about, like say in terms of a message. So Danny is very much like, he is, like you said, he's Jewish. He's very much a child of the 60s. He, you know, fought against, you know, he protested against the war, and he's all about, his platform that he's running on is about environmental, like preserving the environment and the coast and not having it sort of be gobbled up by developers. These are all very like liberal politics. And so contrast that with John Bream, who is, it's not him that's running, but he's somehow, but who's Danny's opponent again? Schmidt?
Yeah, so I misspoke when I, in the introduction earlier, John Bream isn't Danny's political opponent. He's the guy who's financially backing the political opponent.
Okay, yeah. So enter in John Bream and Danny's opponent, who they are like your typical, you know, Republicans. They're like, fuck the coast. Let's just build this shit up. Money, 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 money. Capitalism.
We want to go shopping.
Yeah.
Get in, loser.
Yeah, get in, loser. We're going shopping. Fuck the environment. Who cares if we can't drink the water? Like, who cares? Like, this is, let's develop it. Let's sell it to some rich people and get lots of money. And we love capitalism. And so the show definitely paints Danny and I think everybody who supports Danny as like sort of losers. Like,
yeah,
like let's like, oh, those fucking losers, to the point where like Sheila herself comments on it. Now, like, granted, we can't take Sheila at face value because, like, as we've already talked about, Sheila's an unreliable narrator and she's not a likable protagonist. And I think the show knows that. I think the show knows that we know that Sheila's a deeply fucked up person. But even though it knows that, the show still comes out with this idea of like Danny and his friends and the people who believe in what Danny believes in are losers, and the true serious people and the people who are actually serious and the people who are actually real are John Bream and what John Bream stands for and everyone in John Bream's camp. And so like, and Sheila is crossing over to be a serious person. Right? Sheila is speaking up for herself. Like, once Sheila gets this like videotape thing going, she is changing in I think very significant ways. She starts to speak up for herself more. Her internal monologue starts to become vocal, like something, things that she's saying in real time. And so that to me was like, okay, so that's where like I had a hitch up for the show of like, okay, so like, what are you saying? Like, because I don't know that that's a message that like I'm particularly like interested in.
Agreed. I don't like the show's portrayal of liberals either. But I will say this for the writers. I actually think that tracks with Sheila's character as a person. We've already established that her and John Bream are deeply fucked up people. Like, that's one thing. For her being with John Bream and her being a capitalist, that's like reclaiming her roots, honestly.
Right.
Like, and she is a capitalist, right? Because she takes Bunny's class and instead of feeling invigorated and at most encouraging Bunny to record herself, she throws herself in the mix and wants to distribute the tapes and gets money off it. She immediately starts thinking about how she can capitalize off of this woman's brand.
That's true. And listen, it's not even that I'm mad at that she's like, okay, like, let's do this thing. But the fact that, like, once it starts taking off, her thoughts immediately go to, well, how can I cut Bunny out?
Exactly. Sheila is so deeply self-absorbed, and that's what makes her unlikable. I can understand the childhood trauma that led to this marriage and, of course, led to her ED. Like, she went through something severe, and her parents failed to protect her. This is indisputable. But the way that Sheila treats people around her as if they are props, on her way up the ladder is really, really gross.
No, it very much is. And like that brings us to it very much is, because even before we get to her friend, her only friend really, Greta, she talks about how, like, I think Sheila does talk, like, she says something that, like, how she doesn't have any friends.
she does.
She's very lonely. She's isolated. And she has nothing but, like, sort of contempt for Greta. But Greta's her only real friend.
Right. And this is another thing that makes Sheila unlikable. She has the self-awareness to understand how she comes off to other people, but she keeps being a cunty little bitch regardless.
Like, truly and honestly.
And Greta is Sheila's friend. Sheila is not Greta's friend. Let me make that very plain to anyone who's listening who's confused by the conversation we're having. I think Alex and I can both agree that this is a very one-sided friendship.
It is a very one-sided friendship. And poor Greta. Greta is suffering from her own ED. And mm-hmm. very much so. And
does Greta have an ED?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I missed that.
No, that's fine. She does.
I mean, I know in Sheila's mind, she sees Greta as very big, but like that doesn't mean anything coming from someone like Sheila who has, you know, a binge purge disorder. Like,
right.
Does Greta have an ED, like, legitimately, though? Like,
legitimately. Not she, yeah, okay. She also said that in a scene of, like, how she binged and just, like, just to feel. And I was like, yeah, that's it. That's an ED.
Okay. So she has binge eating disorder. Okay,
yeah, she got does. It.
Okay, so she has BED and Sheila's bulimic. Yeah, that actually makes perfect sense. Because the Greta character is shown as someone who, like, she lives in this big house. She has a life that on the outside most people would envy, right? She has a very rich husband. She lives in a very nice house. She has servants. She has all this stuff, but
she has a lot of anxiety.
Right. She has a lot of anxiety. And she also desires to feel close to her husband, who is someone who, you know, because of his own secrets, keeps her at arm's length for a good long while, right?
Right.
Like, she knows he's hiding something from her. And, like, there's like this wall between her and her husband that she can't seem to get past. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wants a friend. She wants a friend. She knows that Sheila needs a friend. And Sheila really doesn't, she's not feeling Greta. Like, Sheila's a very judgy person. She judges everyone, including herself. But, like, she's a very judgy person. She's really not someone who's really in a place to be anyone's friend.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't want Sheila as a friend. Like, Sheila's a terrible friend. Like, even because even when Sheila steals the video camera from Greta, I mean, I think it's very, I mean, I think that says everything about Sheila, the fact that she just steals the video camera. Because then Greta comes back later, because after Sheila steals the video camera and then subsequently the nanny is fired, right? Somebody lost her job. Somebody lost their job right. over it, and Sheila wouldn't
come. But she knew that would happen. In her internal monologue, Sheila asks herself, who will they blame?
Right.
And then when she comes upon the answer, not me, she decides to go ahead with the theft.
Yeah, she's just like, fuck it, which is insane. And it's like, and then then after all that fucking havoc, Greta says, like, the very obvious thing of, like, if you had asked, I would have let you borrow it. Like, if you had just
right. And this is not just something she's saying after the fact. The way the Greta character is established, we know for a fact as the audience that she would have.
Right. She's like, yeah, like, of course, if you had asked me, I would have just let you borrow it because I just told you my husband gets all these weird gadget shit for free. We have so much of it in the fucking house. Like, we don't even need it. Like, it's just that he was recording all his weird sex stuff on this one.
Right. And Greta didn't even know that.
Yeah, she didn't know at the time. But, like, she would have been like, yeah, use the camera. Like, it's fine. Like, who cares? Like, just return it. Like, so it's all very psychotic. Like, especially, Sheila is psychotic.
And this is what hurt me about watching that and the Sheila character and how self-destructive she can be. I mean, her ED is like symbolic of her self-destructive nature and the way that she's coped with her trauma, right? Mm-hmm. But then we take it like further. After she steals from Greta, she goes back to the parents who, fail to protect her and bring her abuser to heal for a loan. She doesn't want to ask someone who has been nothing but kind to her and has offered friendship to her to borrow an appliance. But she went to, honestly, her parents are abusers as well. She went to her abusers for a loan. Right. So it's not that you're afraid to ask for help. It's that something in you is broken that you don't understand who is a safe and who is an unsafe person to go to for that help.
Right. Exactly. It's like, what? You're not...
Because when she saw the camera, I'm like, oh, poor baby. She's afraid to ask for help. She's afraid to lean on people. And then she goes to her parents' house. What do you mean?
Like, you're not...
You're so unserious. And she's willing to bring her daughter into their home after she and her husband agreed not to do that. And obviously, valid. Those reasons are valid. You bring your daughter into the home in order to secure this loan from these people. Because you want your fitness empire that bad, you're willing to throw your own kid under the bus and forge a relationship with people who were abusive to you and allowed you to be abused. That says so much about Sheila. This is why I don't like the Sheila character. Like, for me, that was the last straw. I could excuse so many of the behaviors leading up to this, but I couldn't excuse this particular behavior, especially after she had stolen that camcorder from Greta. I just couldn't. And the way she treats Greta, honestly, is shitty.
Like, yeah, she treats Greta super shitty.
Sheila has main character syndrome, and I understand she's a protagonist, she's a main character, but nobody likes to watch a character that self-absorbed. Sheila isn't intense. As interesting as the people around her. She is interesting character. I mean, that's not what I mean to say. I watch Sheila primarily, though, to see how other people interact with her, if that makes sense.
No, that's true. Because you're wondering, is anybody going to, like, really call her to the fucking carpet? You know what I mean?
And Buddy is the only person who's willing to do that in season one. Who's willing to be like, you're kind of full of shit. I'm gonna ride this out and see where this goes. But I want you to understand that I see you
for who you are. Yeah. And like you said, Sheila has just enough self-awareness because, like, she does clock it. She's like, oh, she sees you. It's like, yeah, she actually does. Like, And so that first season, so it ends, yeah, with basically this tape becomes, like, super successful. And she's sort of on her way. And like I said, her first instinct once this tape really gets going is taking it solo. It's like immediately cutting Bunny out, like, and taking it solo and figuring out how she's going to do this by herself.
And let's be honest, audience, did we not know she was always going to do this shit? Yeah, and her fantasies, was Bunny ever there?
Right, because she sees herself. But yeah, like, those cuts are actually really great. Like, those vision cuts of, like, seeing herself, like, doing this aerobics thing. They're really great. It's like a neon pink and purple, and she's like imagining herself doing the aerobics on like a set, being shot.
Yeah, so like when she cuts Bunny out. You guys remember that Sex in the City movie where, like, Big and Carrie meet in the streets and she, like, hits him with her bouquet and she's like, I knew you would do this. This was me when Sheila cuts Bunny. Like, I knew you would do this. Like, I wanted you to prove me wrong, Sheila. I wanted some personal growth and not just financial growth that she's looking for. Right.
Right. But no.
I wanted her to be like, you know what? This woman took a chance on me and trusted me when I was, like, virtually a stranger to her. So I'm not going to do her dirty like this. But nope, we didn't get that.
Nope, didn't get any of that at all. So, how that ends is, like, that's also, I guess that's where season two picks up. It was, like, Sheila deciding, but then also, yeah, Sheila and Greta doing this thing where they're, like, yeah, where I mean, with Greta's help, is going to go solo.
Right. And I mean, in this, what I don't like, it tracks with their characters, right? But what I don't like about this, especially as we've mentioned with the level of self-awareness that Sheila character has, she has basically become the Danny in her life, the selfish asshole. Mm-hmm. And Greta has become her personal Sheila.
Yeah, that's true.
Greta is like, oh yeah, I will definitely like not think about my own life in service of your goals.
Very much so. Exactly. So this behavior that she very much hated, right? And the type of behavior that Danny would exert on her that made her feel shitty and small and unheard, she then immediately like leaps that onto Greta.
Right. And this is why when I mentioned earlier, like, I dislike the amount of resentment that Sheila has for Danny because he is selfish, but she enables it and she's just as selfish as him. This is what I'm talking about. She went through this for a decade with him and then had no qualms about doing this to a friend, someone who legally and socially didn't owe her that much. I really hate to see dynamics like this on screen where like women are using other women in the name of friendship. I want something to change drastically. I want Greta to get some bunny energy very quickly.
No, same. I want good things for Greta because Greta's a genuinely good person. But then again, it's interesting. And so that like, and listen, the Greta character is another character that I don't know. Greta and how she functions in the narrative is interesting because I think she's supposed to be a foil for the Sheila character. But she's not quite. Yeah, I think she's supposed to be a foil for the Sheila character, but I don't know that she's quite executed super well to like really make that stark and apparent.
Is just a writer's note that I want to make really, really quickly because you said that. I don't think the Greta character is executed well as either, but I do think back to season one where like any time that Greta like, you know, was a foil to Sheila, it was accidental, right? She wasn't trying to like fuck Sheila shit up. If the writers could write her very intentionally, continuously being that out of a desire to be a good friend and like continuously like exposing Sheila or putting a wrench in her plans, I think this would force some growth in our protagonist.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I agree with that. So then season two, let's talk about season two. What were like standout moments for you in season two?
Bunny's realization that Sheila's exactly the person she clocked her as day one was a great moment. I think that was amazing acting by Della Seba, first of all. But also like the Bunny character is someone who from day one we realize has really good instincts. And she constantly pushes them to the side and second guesses herself because similar to Danny, she wants to realize the white American dream. And she put her trust in the wrong white woman.
Right. That's so true. She wants to realize this quote unquote American dream, but not really understanding. I do think it is poetic. Not maybe poetic is not the right word, but I do think it is interesting that she is like this immigrant, this foreigner who comes to America and is like trying to live this quote unquote white California American dream only to have to live the truth of what the American dream is. And that like, yeah, you can put in hard work for something, but it's going to be a white woman that's about to like take that shit from you.
Oh, like honestly, the series is a masterclass in anything. It's a masterclass in appropriation. Because not only does Bunny realize that Sheila screwed her, she's not even in a position where she can confront her directly. That was painful to watch, honestly. Can you imagine being that enraged at someone who stole it from you? You know what they stole. You know how they stole. You are witness to them profiting from it. And you can't even speak to this person directly.
Right. You can't, there's nothing like to be that helpful. It is. It's so, and it's so real. Cause it's like, that is, I think that is the story. Like that's the American story of like every marginalized person of color, like in this country, but, and yet, and yet.
And like Bunny is interesting to me too, because in a lot of ways she kind of reminds me of myself. I know that's a weird thing to say, but like, the Bunny character also came to this country with her parents when she was a child, right? Mm-hmm. And she speaks really English really, really well, and is, you know, mistaken as an American by people. Well, in her case, she allows people to carry that misconception. But there are many moments in my life where I'm constantly reminded by something that someone says or does. It doesn't even have to be towards me specifically or even anything offensive, but like I get this reminder that, oh yeah, I was born in another country. Like I have this identity that doesn't fit neatly into a Black American identity. And right. She has this identity that doesn't fit neatly into this white American identity, even though she was raised here and she was educated here and all of her friends and all of her memories are here. Look how easily like her life was able to be her dream was taken away from her. Sheila right. fed her this dream of a home aerobics empire on tape. And then got her to participate from it and took it from her.
And took it from her. Truly. And it's so, and I think what makes it ugly, even uglier, is that like, you know, Bunny has like real problems that money would solve, you know, when Tyler has
to get. Isn't she living in her boyfriend's van?
That's what I'm saying. Like, like her and Tyler do not have a place. Like they, her and Tyler don't have like a real, they don't have an apartment. They don't have a house. They're living out of his van. They, when Tyler has to get surgery, they have medical bills. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, like, she needed that money. Like, it's not, like, a joke for her. And yet.
And like, yet. Side note, this is a relevant side note. As much as the show's writing, because, again, we're seeing this all through Sheila's perspective, kind of, like, shits on liberals as, like, weak and useless and, like, these, like, social leeches, Tyler's the only good guy on the show.
Truly.
Like, I know I said, like, he's sweet and kind of useless, but, like, no, like, he, like I said, he got the tape for Bunny, and that was the only way they were going to get that tape out there. But, like, also, he's, like, an honest, decent person. He's not afraid of Bunny's success or her dreams or her goals, and he's not trying to, like, ride her coattails to look better.
Listen, Tyler truly is just, he's there. He doesn't purport to be anything more than what he is. And he doesn't, you know, want to screw people. And he just sort of, he just is, you know. Tyler really is.
Heavy on that, he doesn't purport to be more than what he is. Because a lot of these men on the show are feeling themselves in a way that they really haven't earned.
I haven't earned. And like, and even Danny, as much as like, I guess I'm rooting for Danny in the sense of like, I'm rooting for his policies. Danny is definitely doing something. Danny is running for California statesman, really, like, I don't think really because he's passionate about the platform, but I think because he is also looking for a sense of importance, to be important, to like feel that like his whole life has been worth something. Because he also is feeling inadequate by, you know, his, I don't think he went to Harvard, he went to Berkeley.
Yes.
Yes. All his Berkeley classmates have moved on to be Fortune 500 CEOs or like rich in some way. And I think he does feel inadequate in the sense of like, he just kind of is just this guy. And so like,
right. How. It will also help him sleep with his students.
Yes. Also, he's definitely looking to do that. But he also wants to feel a sort of importance, a sort of influence, and mattering to the world in a larger context.
Yeah, a lot of the people on the show, their problem is that they want to appear important to others. They want to have some sort of authority or at least reverence from the people around them. And that's part of the reason why I like the Tyler and the Greta character so much, because they're not attempting to be that. They want to have connections with people and relationships and community. They're not looking to be like, unanimously respected even by strangers, or to be revered or to be adored or to have power over somebody else. And a lot of the people on the show, like the most fucked up people on the show, all have this issue where they want to be more than what they are, and they punish the people around them for their own feelings of inadequacy.
Yeah, definitely, 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 definitely. In season two, another thing that happens is like, oh, somebody finally confronts Sheila on the bulimia, finally.
I was waiting for that to happen. I don't see this often on television. I guess in real life, that would be a hard thing to do, right? Unless you like caught them vomiting. But like, I was watching the show and asking myself, Danny, he just doesn't want to see, right? But how has no one else suspected in all this time? Like, she doesn't eat. She no one ever sees her eat. Do they just assume that she's eating somewhere else that they're not?
Right. That's true. Nobody really, and it's interesting. So I've been listening to a lot of Celebrity Memoir Book Club. And like, something that those girls say that I think is true is that like, they talk about how like people who have EDs don't like really cover them up as well as they think that they are. Like, it's just one of those things that grows so out of control that like, you're just not, you might think you're getting away with it, but like, somebody has noticed.
I mean, it's kind of impossible not to, right? Like, eating as a culture, like, and I'm not talking about American culture, I mean globally, eating is a very social activity.
Right.
So eating in a disordered fashion, not eating at all, immediately having to leave upon eating food, like, these are things that grab people's attention.
Yeah, like, and particularly if you're hanging out with somebody for a long time, like, you're going to eventually notice that they never eat anything.
If let's say I were a character on this show, I would have assumed, you know, after X amount of interactions, okay, maybe this woman's anorexic. I don't think I would have assumed bulimia, because remember, she doesn't eat in front of people, so there's no throwing up near them either, right? Mm-hmm. But the idea that Sheila's anorexic is a logical conclusion to come to with anyone who's been around her with any length of time, because she doesn't even perform her, I guess, rituals at the home. She's not even eating and purging in her own house. She's doing it at the motels.
Right.
So it's a logical conclusion to come to then that, okay, then she just doesn't eat at all, or she barely eats. Or, you know, she eats small portions when everyone else is asleep or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. So then, yeah, so she's confronted. What did you, like?
I like the confrontation. I kind of wish it would have come sooner. Like, I'm chaotic. But the show is kind of chaotic, too. I actually would have preferred if she confronted Danny about, I don't know, whatever, fill in the blank. There's a lot to confront him about. And then he turned it on her and confronted her about the bulimia. Like, oh, you think I didn't notice? You think I didn't see all these years? Like, you're not perfect either, type of situation. I would have preferred the confrontation coming from the husband, because I do believe he sees. I do believe he knows. I do believe he just doesn't want to rock the boat, because he likes the dynamic that they have right now, or at least the dynamic that they had in the beginning of season one, right? So him confronting her when that dynamic shifts, when she's more confident and she's got more money because she's got the successful aerobics empire, him confronting her on this knowledge of her bulimia, to me, would have been more chaotic, but also would have made more sense.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, definitely. What else about season two, like, was like super compelling to you?
I did like Greta being more assertive in her marriage. That was nice. I have an issue with Danny's friend, that bum that he hired as his campaign manager, Jerry.
Yes.
I wish we could have seen the last of the Jerry character in season one, honestly.
I think that's fair. Yeah. No, that's
real. I didn't want this character to carry over to season two. And I honestly don't understand why Sheila didn't say sooner, like, I'm not comfortable with this man here in our house all hours of day and night, even when I'm not home, when we have a small child in the home. And considering her past and her trauma, I feel like Danny would have understood that.
Yeah,
I feel there was just ways to get rid of the guy. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. I feel that. Like, he feels like a comedic device in season one. And so then when he's carried over into season two, like, I don't really get, like, why he's still there.
It appears to me, too, and it seems to be obvious to everyone but Danny, that this guy's just lingering because he has nowhere else to go.
Oh, yeah, like, definitely. It's, like, I think that was always sort of, like, he, like, even from the beginning, it's, like, oh, he's just here.
Right, and he also has no political knowledge. Like, he has no criteria, no skills that one would need to have as a campaign manager, except, oh, I'm just Danny's friend. I'm just Danny's friend who's in between jobs right now and in between places to stay and doesn't really have anything going on. So I'm going to appoint myself as campaign manager. And honestly, this dude is lazy. I know he's lazy because he has a sort of charisma where he could be running a Fortune 500 company. The ease with which he was able to ingratiate himself in Danny's life is actually terrifying.
Oh my gosh. No, I get that. Yeah. He is, isn't he? The Jerry character is so, yeah, I don't know why he's there. I don't get his function.
I just wanted to see less of him and more of characters like Greta and Bunny. I also, I'm not going to lie, like, the part of me that's chaotic did enjoy the affair that Sheila has been having with John Bream, but, like, also understanding her eating disorder, which she hasn't been treated for. She hasn't gone into any inpatient or outpatient treatment. She hasn't seen a therapist. She's just replaced binging and purging with fucking another man.
Yeah, she's replaced it with another man and aerobics in a sense too. Like, I am
right. Aerobics is absolutely her new addiction. Absolutely. Definitely.
And I am interested. I don't know what season three is just recently being premiered. So, but I am interested in, like, if they will, how that will, like, factor into the storytelling, because, like, we can already see, like, she's just transferred the addiction, right?
Right.
Into aerobics, and, like, what happens when she can no longer, when that's no longer an option, or, like, it, or if they write that, like, her being able to transfer to aerobics is no longer an option, like, what happens to Sheila then? These are all right. Definitely things that I'd be interested in. But the show
is... And I would be remiss, hold on, really quickly. I would be remiss if I didn't point out that exercise bulimia is a thing. Some people binge and they purge, and some people binge and then they over-exercise. Jesus.
Like,
yeah, so that takes a toll on your body
yeah,
faster than the purging, and it's very possible. And maybe they'll write this in, maybe they won't, I don't know. But Sheila getting an injury from overexerting herself and possible malnutrition, is there's a real possibility in that.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitively, and that would be really compelling. And, like, we'll, I guess I'll be looking at season three and checking that out. But all in all, I think this show, beyond, like, some sort of hiccups and things that I don't know quite where I sort of stand on them, I think all in all, this show is good for me. I'm going to give it a solid good. I think Sheila's compelling. I think the world is compelling. It does force you to think on it, and that is all stuff that I like in a show. And yeah, that's definitely where I am. How about you?
I'm gonna give it a good as well. You know,
going in, I tried, like I said, I tried to go in blind. I tried not to know who the producer is, who the creator, who the writer, what the source material is, unless it's a book. I tried not to know what the source material is, so, like, to not, like, poison the well. But I've seen Rose Byrne before, and, like, my favorite character she's ever played is Helen Harris III in the comedy Bridesmaids. And honestly, Sheila reminds me a lot of Ellen. Like, if Sheila had married rich, she would be Helen. Like, this is very, very miserable, very chic person. The acting is good. I think the writing could be tighter. The characters, like, you know, the foundation of all the characters is very good. I would like to see more of some characters than others. The show's a good for me. I really want to see where it goes. And there you have it, folks. This is what we think made Physical good, vintage, and exciting. If you'd like to check out the series, Physical is streaming on Apple TV. And if you enjoyed this episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic, be sure to share it with your friends. If you're a patron, be sure to check out our Physical playlist if you haven't already. We'll be sure to update it as the series continues. It's full of 80s classics and bangers. Tune in next week as we conclude our first impression season with our thoughts on the AMC original Interview with the Vampire. This one is currently streaming for free. Don't be like me and assume that you have to pay for AMC. You can watch it for free. And I'm really excited to talk about this one.
The Good, the Bad, the Basic is currently streaming on all major podcast platforms. So be sure to tune in to our regular weekly episodes on the go. Leave us a review on your preferred platform and share our weekly episodes on your social media. Follow us at The Good Bad Basic on Twitter and at Good Bad Basic Pod on Instagram to get in on our daily content. Also, be sure to follow our SoundCloud page, The Good, The Bad, The Basic, where all of our weekly episodes debut. If you love this sort of content and want more, become a show producer and patron over on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/goodbadbasic. Your support allows us to keep bringing you our regular weekly episodes as well as exclusive bonus material. Until next time, bye everyone.